In this act of all-age worship, there were three short addresses. The first one reflecting on the story of the healing of Naaman by Elisha, found in 2 Kings chapter 5. The second reflecting on the story of the healing of the 10 lepers, found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. And the third taking up the theme of gratitude. We have two stories today about people who are healed of leprosy. Leprosy is a disease of the skin that causes a huge amount of disfigurement if it's not treated. And obviously, in the times of the Old Testament and New Testament, there were no treatments, and so often it could be very disfiguring. Today, leprosy can be treated with medication, and people can be cured of leprosy. But it is still a stigma around the world. People have thought in the past that leprosy was very contagious, and so anybody who suffered from leprosy was always put out of their communities. This was the story of somebody who hadn't yet been put out of his community, probably because he was such a powerful commander in the army. He was a commander in the army of the kingdom of Aram, which is modern-day Syria. And he was suffering from leprosy. Now, it's possible that it only just begun to appear and other people didn't yet know about it. Or it's also possible that because of his position, he was protected from being ostracized. But the story goes that... Oh, pressed the wrong one. The servant girl of his wife told him about a prophet in Israel. She had been captured on one of their raids from Israel, and she knew all about Elisha and his closeness with God. And I'm interested in this story in the influence of the unnamed people. Naaman and Elisha, they're the important ones. We know their names. But first of all, we have this servant girl who comes on the scene. We don't know her name, but she speaks up because she thinks that Naaman could be healed. So there's the first nameless person in the background of the story who makes a huge difference in this story. And then the story goes on. Naaman goes to Israel, and eventually he comes to the house of the prophet Elisha. But Elisha doesn't even deign to come outside. He sends a servant with a message. That's not how you treat important people. He sent a servant with a message, and the servant simply said to him, "Elisha tells you to go to the River Jordan and bathe there seven times. Dip yourself in the water seven times." And he became quite angry. "Why should I go to this horrible little River Jordan?" he says. "We've got far better rivers in Syria, far more important. They were probably cleaner as well." He wanted to go to the rivers he knew. Why couldn't he do that? But then some other nameless people, the servants, with a bit of wisdom, just said to him, "Look, if Elisha had told you to do something really quite spectacular, wouldn't you have done it? He's told you to do something very simple. Just go to the local river and dip yourself in seven times. So why don't you do it?" And Naaman took notice of these servants who persuaded him to go to the river. He dipped himself in the water seven times. And eventually, on the seventh time, he came up healed. And he went back with deep gratitude to Elisha and wanted to give him all sorts of gifts. But Elisha refused because this healing was a gift from God to him. But it's the story of these unnamed people in this story that I'm so interested in. The servant girl and the two servants who dared to speak up to this important person. And they made all the difference in the story. It was the servant girl who pointed him towards Elisha and the God of Elisha in the first place. And it was these two other servants who told him not to be so stupid, not to get above himself, but to do simply what Elisha had said. Now, in our world today, we seem to be in such a mess. We've got so many, well, curious people, to say the least, who are giving leadership to our world, or so-called leadership. We've got Donald Trump in America. We've got Putin in Russia. We've got Erdogan in Turkey. And controversially, I would say we have Boris Johnson in the UK as well. Now, we have just got to hope, I think, that around these people, there are some unnamed people who might just talk a bit of sense. And that these important people, like Naaman, listened to these people who were otherwise unnamed and unknown. Naaman listened. And I think we just have to hope that there are some people in these significant places in our world who might just say something that might strike home and make a difference. But we might think of that in all sorts of places where change needs to come about. It's not always the important people who actually make that change come about. It's some of the unnamed people around them who say something that strike a bell and that make a difference in the world. And perhaps we at times might be in those places of being unnamed people in the background who just have the chance to say something because of where we are and who we're with that might just make a difference. Like the servant girl who piped up with her master who had taken a captive, so she might not have been on terribly good terms with him, but just knew that Naaman, that Elisha, might be able to help him. And like these servants who dared to stand up to their master and say something that made a difference, let us give thanks for all of the nameless, unknown people in our world who are having a significant impact on what's happening. Another story about people with leprosy being healed. And another story about a foreigner being among them, the Samaritan. The story tells about how these 10 stayed a distance away from Jesus and shouted out to him because they had to keep away from other people. People normally didn't want to be near them or to touch them. On this occasion, where Jesus usually would reach out and touch, he simply told them to go and to show themselves to the priest. And they went and found themselves healed of their leprosy. But only one returned to say thank you. The one who was the Samaritan, the outsider, the foreigner. Paul Thigpen has written this story of these 10 lepers. Each one of the 10 had a tale of personal horror to tell, but the stories were all the same. The nightmare had crept slowly across their bodies, white patches, lumps in the skin. Then the numbness had crawled up their limbs, stealing the feeling from fingers and toes. Finally, the faces had grown disfigured beyond recognition, and all that remained of the feet were crippled nubs. Worst of all were the jeers from the children whenever the men passed too near a village. Lepers, they screamed, spitting the word like a curse. So long ago, these 10 had been young and handsome, healthy, well-to-do, full of desires and dreams, but that seemed like another world, another lifetime. Now they were the walking dead. One morning, as they approached yet another village to beg, the crowds were cheering the name that for months had spread like a whispered wildfire through the leopard colony. Jesus. The leper healer from Nazareth stood by the village well, not far from the twisted outcasts, and he was looking their way. All at once, 10 hoarse voices erupted in unison, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." He smiled. The first smile turned in their direction for many years and said simply, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." He hadn't even touched them. The 10 examined one another. Clearly nothing had changed. Were they once again the butt of a cruel joke? One of them, a Samaritan, turned back to the road, set his face toward Jerusalem and the temple, and motioned for his comrades to join him. "If the priests throw me out," he said, "then let the crowd stone me. What's left to live for?" He hobbled down the dusty path, his crutch making holes in the scorched clay. And as the others followed, the miracle came. They were cleansed, suddenly, totally, unconditionally. 9 men raced and shouted down the road like boys in a game, peeling off their rags to welcome the sunshine on their now childlike skin. They never even looked back, never saw again the face whose light had dawned on their darkness and ended their nightmare. But one man, the Samaritan, spun around, ran to Jesus, and flung himself at his feet. Tears spilled down his cleansed cheeks. He looked up, trembling, and whispered 2 words, "Thank you." Thank you from the outsider. Why was it the Samaritan among all of these 10 who returned with thanks? Perhaps because he had received the greatest gift. His was not only a healing from his leprosy, his was also the welcome from an outsider. He had received the greatest gift. He was most aware of the gift of grace that had come to him in Jesus. And so he gave thanks. And this story challenges us to reflect on how thankful we are. Sometimes it's those who are a bit more on the inside who are less thankful than those who are right on the outside. And we, perhaps because we are comfortable in our coming to church. We can become a bit blasé about things and lose our sense of gratitude for the sheer grace and gift that God means to us. And perhaps it's good to spend time and think and reflect on those good things that have happened to us. And we're going to have just a few moments of silence now. And I want us just to think back over this past week. The things that are fresh in your memories, the things that have happened to you during this past week. And try to pick out those things that have been really good that you have missed, that you've passed over, that have missed your attention, that you have failed to give thanks for, to recognize, perhaps because they have just become so ordinary and everyday, perhaps because you were distracted by so many other things. Think back over the things that have been good for you during this past week and offer your thanks to God. So a period of silence. Think back over your lives. The people you've met, the things that have happened to you, the simple everyday things or perhaps the extraordinary things, and give thanks to God. A few moments of silence. Learning to say thank you. Well, it's all about being polite, isn't it? Yeah. Saying thank you for things. Of course it is. Somebody gives you something, you say thank you for it. But saying thank you needs to be more for us as Christians than simply a matter of politeness. It needs to be an attitude of heart and mind as we go through our lives. Because gratitude, saying thank you, is always a response to gift. Somebody gives something to us, somebody does something to us. We say thank you. And it needs to be an attitude that we adopt to the whole of life. Because as Christians, we believe that the whole of life comes to us as gift. So I wonder why those other nine didn't come back and say thank you. Now, there could be all sorts of reasons. They could have just been so overwhelmed with it that it didn't quite occur to them. They were so excited about what had happened to them. But there could have been a sense as well that somehow, after all, this was their right. This was their due. After all, this is how they should have been all the time, just well and good and happy. They were only getting back what was their right and their due. And we live in a world today that is very full of the talk of what our rights are. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm a great supporter of human rights. And the development of human rights during the last century was an important milestone in human history, of recognizing that everybody has got human rights just because they are born. A right to equality, a right to freedom. But there is a danger in thinking about life as a right. It makes what we have as something that is our due. But actually, as Christians, these great things, we receive them, we respect them, because they are gifts to us from God. That everybody is free comes not to us as a right, but as a free gift from God, that everybody is equal, comes not just as a right, but first of all, it is a right because it is a gift from God. And so we need to live in this world, not just with saying thank you every now and then when something good happens to us, but with an attitude of gratitude all of the time. A discipline of gratitude that recognizes the whole of life, everything that comes to us, all that is good in our lives, as coming as a free gift from the hand of God. And an attitude of gratitude changes the way in which we live, changes the way in which we will look on this world, will change our demeanor, will change the way in which we look on other people, and will give us a new lightness of spirit, and will give us a new way of walking through this world and coping with the difficult moments and the challenges of this world. An attitude of gratitude is something that we need to learn to develop. Not just saying thank you every now and then, but for the word thank you to be the heartbeat of our lives, because everything comes to us as gift, the gift of God's grace. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, and may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us, now and always. Amen.